following is a presentation of the Yale Law School. Welcome to the Faculty Book Review, an interview series highlighting the recently published works by faculty members of the Yale Law School. In this episode, we speak with Justice S. Hotchkiss Professor of Law Michael Gratz, whose research focuses on taxation, tax policy, health law and policy, and income security law and policy. Professor Gratz has served as Assistant to the Secretary and Special Counsel at the Treasury Department, as Treasury Deputy Assistant Secretary for Tax Policy, and as a member of the Commissioner's Advisory Group of the Internal Revenue Service. In his most recent book titled 100 Million Unnecessary Returns, A Simple, Fair, and Competitive Tax Plan for United States, Professor Gratz takes on the U.S. tax code, suggesting that the American system should be completely restructured. Professor Gratz argues that the modern American tax system is a confusing, inconsistent tangle of code that has failed to keep pace with the country's changing economy. He proposes restructuring the tax system by replacing the income tax for the majority of Americans with a value-added tax. Professor Gratz is interviewed by Editorial Director Caitlin Thomas of the Law School's Public Affairs Office.
Welcome, Professor Gratz. First, what inspired you to write 100 Million Unnecessary Returns? Why do we need tax reform now?
In 2010, all of the Bush tax cuts expire, and this means that Congress must reevaluate the tax law of the United States within the next couple of years. And as a result, it seems to me that there is a great opportunity for Congress to do something for the American people that will make their tax lives at least simpler and make the nation more economically strong.
How do you propose to reform the current system?
Well, the basic plan that I've developed in this book begins with a value-added tax, and it would impose a value-added tax of 10 to 14% on all sales of goods and services. A value-added tax is not familiar to most Americans unless they travel, but it's a tax that's been used in 146 different countries. And in every industrialized country in the world except the United States. And essentially what it is it's a sales tax, it's a national sales tax, but it's collected at different stages of production, so it's like a sales tax with withholding. And so I start with a value-added tax of 10 to 14%, and I use the money from that to eliminate the income tax on married couples with less than $100,000 of income. And this has the result of taking 150 million people out of the income tax. It eliminates 100 million tax returns from the system and provides enormous simplification for all of these 150 million Americans who will no longer have to deal with the tax authorities at all. I then have an income tax at a relatively low rate. The book suggests 25% on income above $100,000. And I also use the money from the value-added tax to provide tax relief to low and middle income taxpayers who would otherwise be subject to the VAT, and to reduce the corporate income tax to a level of 15 to 20%. And the corporate income tax rate reduction, I think, is very important in terms of the ability of the United States to compete in the global economy. Corporate rates have come down around the world, and we have now the second highest rate in the OECD. So what we'd have in this system is a tax on sales of goods and services that would be paid by most Americans. No income tax except for the highest income Americans. And a low rate income tax for individuals and a very low rate income tax for corporations. And what this would do would be to maintain the progressivity of the existing system, but to create a system where we would be taking advantage for the first time in a long time of our status as a low-tax nation. We are one of the lowest-tax nations in the world. We collect less taxes as a percentage of GDP than almost any other country. But our income tax is the same, and our corporate income tax is the same, because we don't have a value-added tax. And we're going to need a value-added tax going forward in order to compete in the global economy. The other thing this plan does, which I'd like to emphasize, is it puts the United States in a position to collect the revenue it needs going forward without harming the economy.
Just to pick up on that topic a little bit, in 100 Million Unnecessary Returns, you argue that the current tax system stifles economic growth. How would your proposal encourage economic growth?
Well, by having a low-rate corporate tax, corporations would no longer have incentives to shift either jobs or taxable income overseas. So they would leave the jobs in the United States. It would also be a great incentive for foreign companies to invest in the United States. And by having a low-rate individual income tax, we would eliminate much of the burden on savings that the current income tax imposes. For most Americans, those who pay no income tax, the vast majority under this plan, there would be no tax on their savings at all, so they could save tax-free. For people subject to the 25% income tax with the $100,000 exemption, so it would be a tax only on the income over $100,000, they would pay a low-rate tax on their income, whether they saved it or consumed it. But by shifting our tax system to tax savings less and investment less and to tax consumption more, we then have a tax system that would serve us well going forward in terms of providing jobs and economic growth.
What has been the political reaction to your plan, and why do you think this is a particularly good time to move forward with this type of plan?
Well, we shouldn't fool ourselves into thinking that this is going to be easy to accomplish. Value-added taxes have been resisted in the United States for a long time. And there are a number of people who seem to think that having both a value-added tax and an income tax is somehow un-American. This is simply wrong. What the system I'm proposing does is return the United States basically to the system that it had before the Second World War, when the income tax only applied to the highest income Americans, and we collected the bulk of our revenue from taxes on consumption. At that time, it was just bad taxes on consumption, tariffs. Today, we now have a value-added tax, which is a good tax on consumption, if one can say any tax is a good tax. And so the system would put us in line with the rest of the world. For some reason, which I have to say I don't quite understand, the political position of many people is that we should be unique in the world. This has become harder and harder to do in a global economy. And by not having a value-added tax, we've had to have much higher income taxes than we need. And that's the key point of this exercise. But there are lots of people who will oppose the plan, and in order for it to be enacted, ultimately, I think we'll have to have the support of a president of the United States.
You also talk about how the current system is just this kind of confusing, inconsistent tangle of code, and how it's how many times longer than War and Peace?
It's
six times longer than War and Peace.
And not as easy to read.
Historically, how did we get here? How did we get to this place?
What's happened is that the income tax has become, for Congress, what chicken soup was for my mother, a magic elixir to solve all of the nation's problems. So if we have a problem in access to higher education, we have seven provisions in the Internal Revenue Code that now help people save for education or pay for their higher education. We have incentives for this and incentives for that. And Congress, for a long time, would compromise on various proposals, but now it compromises by accepting everyone's ideas. And so the Internal Revenue Code has simply grown like Topsy. And it's way too complicated for the average American to know either how much taxes they're going to pay or they're going to pay during the year, or to know how to take advantage of these various provisions that Congress has enacted. They're enormously complicated. And as a result, they're not effective. Let me give you probably the most important example. This country, unlike every other country, relies on an income tax benefit as its main stimulus to providing health insurance for Americans. So that health insurance that's provided by an employer to an employee is not taxed under the income tax. So how well has that worked compared to what other countries have done? Well, we know the answer to that. We have 47 million uninsured people. We have the highest health care costs in the world. And if one were being fair, one would describe it as the Titanic of domestic policy. And this, one could go through, you know, incentives for education, make much the same point. One of the great goals of the book is to get the income tax out of the lives of most Americans, and in so doing, eliminate the incentives for Congress to continually look to the income tax as the solution to problems that we have to solve in other ways.
You already said that this will be a difficult thing to achieve. What do you think is a realistic timeline?
Well, I think that there is a train wreck coming in 2010. The alternative minimum tax is going to hit more and more people, thereby requiring them not only to calculate their income taxes once, but to calculate them twice. And our income tax rates are likely not to stay as low as they are today because Congress will be searching for revenues. So it could happen as soon as 2010. And if we have leadership in the Congress and leadership in the White House that decides to do something dramatic, do something important for the American people, then 2010 would be the year to do it. If it doesn't happen in 2010, it's going to happen in the next decade in any event, because with the baby boom generation retiring, our ability to pay for Social Security and, more importantly, to pay for Medicare for the elderly is going to become more and more difficult. And squeezing more revenue out of the income tax without harming our economy or producing great disparities in how the tax applies is just not going to be feasible. So at some point in the next 5 or 6 years, somebody is going to have to stand up and say we really need to revise our tax system.
You have been listening to a podcast by the Yale Law School. For more information about Professor Michael Gratz and his scholarship, please visit www.law.yale.edu/faculty/mgratz.htm.